Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Industrial Marketer Podcast, your place for the tips, tech, trends, and tactics for industrials who care about driving leads to their businesses. I am one of your hosts, Industrial Marketer patron and lover, Joey. And as always, I am hosted by my favorite Nels Revolution, Nels Jansen. How are you, my man?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
I am excited to be back again talking with you in our quarter of Industrial Marketer Foundations. We're talking about a lot of cool stuff this quarter, and this is a passion project for you, Nels, I know, because no matter what level of industrial marketer we're talking to, whether they're the C-suite at the top of the pyramid, whether they're directing teams and trying to figure out how to most efficiently get marketing done, or whether they're the grunt force on the ground writing the content and trying to make their sites rank, whatever level we talk to, you always tell me that they're not thinking enough about case studies and how case studies can value and be a benefit to their business. So, Nels, today on the Industrial Marketer Podcast, we are dedicating the entire episode to the glory and wonder that is the case study.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's, to me, it's just one of those Captain Obvious no-brainers. It's like you get a cold call from a salesperson pitching a new product or service, and what's your first question going to be? Like, well, who else is doing this, and how did it work for them?
You know, work? Are you a charlatan?
Yeah. So, you know, again, this, anyway, I could go on and on, so I'll just defer to you here at this point.
Here's the thing. I want you to go on and on, Nels. This is the episode two, season two. Nels takes on case studies, and I'm excited because here's the thing. We all know kind of in our heart what a case study is, what it does. Ultimately, it's just to show some sort of proof. Like it's essentially the digital narrative version of walking into somebody's house with a vacuum cleaner you're trying to sell them and dumping dirt on their carpet and being like, see, it works. It's sort of that, but in a narrative form and way less dirty. And so, Nels, I'm just going to ask it straight out. What is a case study? Like when you think about a case study, how do you define it in your head? Like what is a case study? Let's just start there.
Yeah, it's kind of a narrative of how somebody used a solution to solve a problem or a pain point.
Yeah.
And I think we overthink it a lot. I think, you know, because there is a definite tried and true formula for case studies that gets into what was the tactic, what was the outcome, and what was the you know, numerical numbers, and we'll get into some of the issues with those. Yes, absolutely. If you can tell somebody that you save 10% of time and 12% of money and 15% of resource allocation, whatever, you know, yeah, that's all wonderful. But a case study basically is a story of success. It's a success story. It's a testimonial.
I love that.
Right. So, and as we'll talk more, I think they don't have to be big, giant, formal things. If it's, you know, whatever products or services you're selling, whatever you can, you know, if there's a pain point to be relieved, if there's an issue to be solved, you can do a case study around it. It doesn't have to be big and lengthy. It doesn't have to be, you know, super wide or super deep, you know.
Yeah.
Basically, tell the story of the success.
I love that. I love the idea and the simplicity of saying, well, what the case study. I think a lot of times when you hear the term case study, and I think we're almost all of us are programmed almost like the word term white papers, like your eyes kind of roll and you're like, oh, like what am I going to put that in the newspaper? But I want us to think about case studies in the way that Nels thinks about them, it's a story of your success. It's a way for you to tell that you have done. It's a way to brag on yourself, essentially, and brag about your expertise and something that you did as a company that you're very, very proud of that can show other people, hey, we can bring you solutions and it works. And see?
Yeah. Well, again, we're in marketing, right? This is another term, just like a white paper comes from academia, where it basically is getting into the details, the deep into the weeds about why something works or how it works mm-hmm. or what this does that's different from the typical way of doing things kind of thing. A case study is another, you know, the traditional business school case study of why didn't Kodak, you know, master right. the phone camera, you know, and it gets into all sorts of factors. And, you know, I'm sure the Harvard Business School has a formula for what their case studies are, but again, we're not talking about academia. We're talking about marketing. So yes, is the term?
I'm so happy that you said that.
Right. Is the term? Is it fair to call some of what I consider to be a case study? Case study? I don't know. It's like a white paper now, or pretty much product promotions. You know. So it's you know, if you can, and I'm a very literal person, as you know. I get stuck on precise words and things like that, but. Now let's talk about the possibilities for case studies, because it doesn't have to be complex.
And that's kind of where I wanted to land. And I'm happy that you phrased it that way, because that's what I don't want to happen. Is I don't want people to think, oh, I've got to put this like story, problem, solution, outcome thing together. It's got to be this big, long narrative. There are a lot of ways to approach putting out a narrative of your success. And it could be, you know, you could do it in social posts. People have done it. I've seen very cool case studies done as like FAQ videos or short little right. video well, segments.
Let's be clear though. You do follow the formula of problem, mm-hmm. solution, outcome. It's just, you don't have to do it in a lot of depth necessarily. Right.
Exactly.
It's, you know, what's
there's
the
an
old
order and a structure. Well, but it doesn't have to be the academia thing that everybody, you know, imagines.
Yeah. I went to journalism school a million years ago, and it was, you know, the first time, you know, somebody said, write the story in one sentence. I was like, well, you can't. Well, of course you can. TV people do it all the time.
Yeah, exactly. So
you know, and then, you know, you could write it. What would you add if it was two sentences? You know, you get the idea, all the way to 1,000 words where you get many, many sentences, but right. you can tell a case study very simply. It can be very short, but it's going to account for the story of what was the problem, what was the plan, solution, and what was the outcome. And you can do that in three sentences. In some cases, we had a, you know, we could not get the nut off the lug. We use WD-40 to loosen the bolt, the nut off the bolt. And we reduce maintenance time by, you know, 50% because we got these nuts off the bolts fast.
There it is.
There's a case study.
There's WD-40. A full case study right there. I hope we're charging for this, Nels, because that was some premium content there. I mean, it can be as simple as that of like, hey, our system saved ExxonMobil $45 million in lubrication costs last year. And it's like, that's the end. Like,
that's the gold. And we'll get into this now, the real world situations, because ExxonMobil doesn't want to tell you they saved $45 million.
Well, of course.
They're happy to say that, oh yes, we use, you know, in some cases happy to use their products, but, and that's the chasm between super simple and saving $45 million is what we can talk about. Cause there's
exactly.
And that's one of my frustrations with case studies is we find too many reasons not to do them when we mm-hmm. can be doing them.
Well, we have a very special guest in our second On the Shop Floor segment, and I'm going to ask them that very question. So hold on. We're going to talk about some hurdles, but I, you know, we've talked a lot about kind of what it is, but why now, Nels, like, why would you use a case study? Like, in my mind, case study is the quintessential, like, social proof. It is the, hey, it's not just us blowing smoke. This is us. Like, this is a real thing that we did that solved a problem that is similar to a problem that you have. But like, what are other avenues? What are other benefits do you see of using case studies?
So what's the latest stat? The number gets higher every time I look for it. How much research do industrial buyers do before they actually contact?
It's in the high 70s.
Right. So it is a key piece of content now, the evidence. It's like, oh, okay, here's the capabilities of this product or service. Okay, I get it. And then, you know, you kind of move through the considerations like, oh, and, you know, the solution blog, you know, it's like, okay, so this is going to really help us combine two processes into one. And so it will streamline our, you know, operation and help our equipment efficiency and whatever. And then mm-hmm. at some point it's okay. Here's how company it's just one more piece to move somebody down the funnel before they actually engage. I mean, that's the big shift in digital marketing in the industrial sector in the past few years, is that by the time you finally engage people, they're farther down the funnel. So yeah. the case study is getting people, it's qualifying. And once, if they've read it and they believe it and they want to know more about it, then that's a lead qualifier.
Yeah.
And I will add in, I'll piggyback on that and add in one other element that I think is a very, very valuable just from a logistics and planning standpoint, is when it comes, if you have a case study, you now have an asset that you can use in a lot of different places. If you have a good, repeatable case study, you can have something that you can give out to prospects through your sales team. You can have something that can live online that people could find organically without your help. You have something that can be broken up and sent out in emails. You have something that could be created into a video or a social post. You have ways, and in our last episode, we talked about content planning. You have now a lot of different pieces and ways you can use that. I mean, you could even go so far as to strip some of the branding off of it and submit it as a trade article and have your success story show up in a trade publication for your industry, showing that story to more than just your current audience as well. So, you know, think of it as an asset that you will be able to then reuse and reuse and reuse as proof in a lot of different situations. Yeah. So one reason right. to create a bunch of them is to have a bunch of them.
Well, I think, yes. And to that point, I think a lot of times a lot of companies view case studies as our best customer, our ideal uh-huh. customer. And I just don't think we should be limiting ourselves. I think if you have four divisions in your company, you ought to have case studies within each of those divisions. If you have four different products, you know, why not have case studies for each? I just think it's part of the formula. We talked about templated no. content. I think that's part of it. So I think that it doesn't have to be giant. It doesn't have to yeah. be your best customer. If somebody's been coming to you for years, why? There's a case study there in terms of, all right, they may just tell you a kind of a testimonial in nature that, oh, their service is great and we love their stuff and they do what they say. Okay. And how did that help them? What is the ultimate, you know, go back to the problem solution outcome.
Yep.
Okay. You just ask a couple different questions of one of your longstanding clients and you turn it around into a case study, right? You know, you might not even know what the exact case study is when you begin. You just know what the category is for that case study.
Well, and that's something else, but that's another thing I did want us to spend a little bit of time today and talk about is when you're building, like how you put together a case study, it is, I think, asking those questions. So it starts with those questions like, well, what was the problem? What did we do about the problem? And then what happened? And if you can answer those three questions, or you have answers to any of those questions, you can almost work your way and fill out all three of those segments. Because if you sure. know, hey, something really good happened,
so here's,
let's
so
work here's, backwards. Why did that happen?
Right. So here's two different ways to think about what your possible case studies are. Mm-hmm. Why does a customer continue to come to you? Okay. That could, their answer to that could lead to a case study. And the other one is your customer service people. What are the questions that they hear most frequently? Okay. Mm-hmm. How do you answer those? What are the examples of it? And could that be a case study? So, yeah. you know, we just tend to think about these in terms of like the pinnacle, you know, a case study is our best customer. It's our best success. You know, not necessarily, you know, I just think we should be doing them more broadly. I think we should have a lot more wider use of case studies. So yeah, your customer service people, what are they frequently asked about? Okay, that's a potential, because you know that's what other people are asking about. So find an example that you helped somebody there and do that. And then again, your longstanding customers, why do they keep coming back to you? All right. Ask a couple more good questions and build a case study out of why they love you.
That first one that you mentioned is one, I think, the most underutilized things that any industrial marketer can be doing right now within their own company is just talking to the customer service people and talking to the people that answer your phones and asking, what are the questions that you get all the time? And you know, this is just lead magnet strategy in general. I mean, and Nels, we're specifically talking about case studies, and case studies are a type of lead magnet that can fall out of that. But just having a thumb on the pulse of what are the questions that we always get asked.
Sure.
Because one of them may be, well, it seems like a lot of people don't believe we can do what we say we can do. Well, then there is a prime opportunity to start building some case studies to prove out that you can.
Yeah. And your customer service people also will help you identify trends. And we all love trends in the content side too, right?
So. I agree. I've held my tongue long enough. I am excited to get down to the on the shop floor segment to talk to a true expert in this realm. Nels, I want to leave some time for our conversation with the expert. Are you ready to head down to the shop floor and meet him?
Yes, let's get down there.
All right. So the rest of our case study questions and the rest of our case study conversation is going to happen on the shop floor with our very special, special guest. Here we go. Music. That was the music. Here we are on the shop floor, Nels. And our very special guest today is Nels Jensen. Yay! Woo-hoo! Oh, Nels. Oh, I don't know how I've kept this secret so long. It was harder to keep this secret than about the Spider-Men that were in that new Spider-Man movie before the break. But I'm so happy. When we decided to talk about case studies, I was like, I just want to pick your brain on air because you, as we've mentioned and as we've teased, you're a huge fan of case studies. And not to put words in your mouth, but you think they're very underutilized in a general rule. So I thought who better to ask questions about case studies and how to put them together and really pick your brain on it is really put you in that catbird seat for a little bit. So Nels, you know, we've talked a little bit about, you know, how you build case studies, you know, like problem, solution, outcome. I'd love for you to dive in a little bit more and just kind of lay out those questions. Like, how does someone go through and build kind of that segment? And more specifically, something you and I were chatting about off air, but the symbiosis between like testimonials and client statements and case studies and how one can feed the other and vice versa. You had a really interesting way of how to build that and think about that.
Yes. So it's, you know, FAQs are really valuable pieces of content too. You get to answer questions that people frequently ask people, you know, the testimonials, why somebody, you know, likes doing business with you, the case study, they're all opportunities for those success stories that we're talking about. And I think that the reason why we view these case studies in this sort of top of the pyramid success stories is because the really great ones have such good outcome numbers. It's facts. You can't dispute it. Here's the ROI. Here's the hours saved. There's a metric that just jumps out at you and goes, wow. And I think on the industrial side, we have a lot of hurdles into doing case studies. Sometimes it's proprietary information. You might be surprised how often if, you know, you visit a manufacturing facility and it's like, no pictures allowed. Well, what are we going to show? Well, you never know if somebody were taking a picture of, you know, how a part's being made and it might, you know, this is like a rule of exception that's like, you can't tell from this what's actually happening, but somewhere, sometime, some spy captured a system and took it back to somebody else and they figured out how to, right. But that is the ultimate sort of what if, but it's a hurdle, right? We don't want to show something because we work for a customer and they don't want this information.
Yeah. Well, I've run into that too with clients. And I know there are some, like, especially in the aerospace or defense categories, you know, there are like a lot of NDAs. Like, we can't even say that we work for Nike or whatever.
Right.
And so, you know, there will always be situations like that that have to be stepped around. But even in that case, there are usually ways to obfuscate the narrative enough. It's like, we worked for a large metal supplier to do this problem.
A major aerospace manufacturer. And, you know, okay, so you can tell that it's going to be McDonnell Douglas or Boeing or Northrop Grumman. It's like, okay, so you can tell it's one of these, or it's one of their, you know, tier one suppliers, whatever.
Right.
Yeah. So in those cases, it's like, you know, once you start talking about some of these products, you know, that the potential companies you're talking about is very small, but that doesn't, all right, if you can do that, do it. You know, in the end, we want to know, you know, oh, how did they work with this super alloy to machine this part? You know,
exactly. Right.
Okay. So that's what you ultimately care about. You don't care if it was Airbus or Boeing. You care about, you know, the super high temperature rating that it has to have.
Yeah. Or you care about like the safety specifications and it meeting every single like ISO specification.
Right. So that there's a hurdle there that you can get around. The bigger hurdle usually is the very specific metric, right? Mm-hmm. Where people don't want some of this information out because they feel that it could be used against them on a competitive basis. And that's a tough one to get around. Yeah. So you end up seeing some, you know, vague case studies about they save significant time doing this or this. And that's one of those where, you know, you just keep pushing for, you know, whatever you can get. If it's right. like 10% or this allowed us to free up, you know, X resources to do other things or, you know, anything you can do to help frame what the actual success is. So that's a hurdle too. Mm-hmm. And even the financials can be a big hurdle, right? No one wants to talk about revenues and specific dollars and profit margins. And we even had one client that we worked with who they were making medical devices and they bought a new machine that allowed them to combine three processes into one. And they saved, you know, they told the machine maker that they saved whatever it was. They turned the turnaround time for the part went from, I'm making these numbers up, 56 minutes to 17 minutes.
Right.
Huge success. Just, but you know, we couldn't use that in the case study because the actual company they were dealing with, the belief was, you know what, if they find out how much
we can't charge, you know, as much,
right, we won't be able to charge as much. It's like, well, you know, you just spent $300,000 on that machine. You know, it's like, you got to pay for it somehow. And yeah, they don't care. You know, it was like that. You always have these hurdles.
Right. But as content creators, that's what we do. Like that's where, like, if we have all the pieces, if we know where the gates are and what restrictions we have, it's like, okay, well, we can't use the company name in this one. It's like, well, let's really focus then on the problem and the solution and, you know, not worry too much about the company. And there's some, it's like, oh, well, you know, this situation is notoriously complex. So the fact that we were a part of that, you know, the problem and then the solution are the main points of that narrative. So as content creators, that's where this comes into the art form of creating the content, which Nels,
you just keep hammering at what metric can we use? How can we frame the success? And yes, it's very frustrating when you see vague case studies, but to my point, a vague case study is better than no case study. That's why we're in marketing. You know, I was in the news publishing business for a long time and I argued the exact opposite there. But here, this is, you know, people do so much research online, you know, you got to use, you know, all of your evidence you can. And so, it hurts me to say, but
it's a different medium. Context matters. You know, it is a situation that is dependent on the universe in which it lives in. I mean, and honestly, it's simple. It it's consideration marketing. It's conversion marketing. I mean, if you have a friend come up to you on the street and be like, hey, you should really read this book. This book is so amazing. And you're like, wow, I trust that friend. That friend knows what he's talking about. I will probably read that book. But if like the publisher of the book came up and is like, hey, this is a great book. You should totally read this book. And you're like, well, you're making money off that book. I don't believe you as much. If you have a case study out there and somebody stumbles on it naturally, and it's not you actively trying to convince them, if they just see the story and they're like, wow, that was the problem that I have and they solved it, I should talk to them. Yes. That is a level of social proof that you can't bet by. And if someone's coming to you already convinced that you can solve their problem, most of your work's already done.
And here's another way to fudge is the wrong word, but there's other metrics you can use, like a case study that I described, that medical device. All right. So maybe it's a little bit vague, but you roll it out there and you add one of your own metrics. You know, in the past 12 months, you know, we've added 5 clients to this machine, you know, whatever. It's yes, the case study example is device maker, but part of the success story is what you've been able to translate that to. So again, use whatever metrics you can. Sometimes they're your own. Sometimes you can use them against an industry standard. You know, they don't want to tell you that our margin on this product went up 5%, but you could basically say this allowed them to go to, you know, a, you know, better than industry average margin, you know, or something.
Yep.
It's vague, but it's something. Right.
It shows success, and it goes back to what you said at the beginning of this, Nelson. What is a case story? It is a story of your success. And however you tell that story, if it has the what was the problem, what did you do to fix the problem, and what was the outcome, that any way you frame those three elements together to tell a story of your success can and should be working for you as a case study.
Right. And I think in terms of how we build these case studies too, think about it in your own place with the people you work with. You have creative people at your company, and they might not be on the content side, but you know, this is the brainstorming idea where if you get together with sales to talk about what could we do for case study, and then what are the metrics we could do to show success? And that's like where the groupthink can lead you to a better place. Somebody's going to have an idea about, oh, well, maybe we could use this, or what is this? What did success look like for us because of this? And I think the power of groupthink, you know, if you get a bunch of people at a table and brainstorm for a few minutes on case studies, I think you'll come up with something.
I agree. And it's just, that is really that's where the art and the creativity come in around it is, oh, well, we can't do a case study because so-and-so won't let us use their name. That shouldn't be the end of the conversation. Get in a room, talk about a way to focus on the problem or the outcome or the situation as opposed to the name. And that's where getting those heads together, as you were just talking about, can really bring some good opportunities to the table. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, Nels, because you're the special guest here, but I don't think that people should stop. Just like, well, we already have 2 or 3 pretty good case studies. We don't need any more. I would think that you would recommend have as many as you can have that are convincing, that talk about what you do that you could use as proof for something.
That's actually a really good point, because I get a little nervous when I see case studies that are a little too old.
I was about to say.
So age. If this is from a couple of years ago, what's changed since then? Maybe a lot. So yes, case studies, you need to be fresh, and you know, clients come and go, and you know, whatever. It's just they are something that you need to consistently freshen. Yes.
Absolutely. And this is why we're talking about it this month or this quarter in our foundations section, Nels, for industrial marketers. We truly believe that case studies and the ongoing updating of case studies is just a foundation you need established in your marketing practice. It should be, you know, to speak of a previous episode, have them on your content calendar, have them regularly scheduled every couple months to check out new ones, recycle old ones, refresh and reuse, and or you know, call it some that you don't need anymore. You know, look for ways to keep that fresh and up to date, because to Nels's point, as our expert special guest, if you have, it's like, well, we did this, we solved this problem with the technologies available to us. Like, oh, really? When did you do that? 1987? No, thank you. You know, well, so make sure that you have the studies that are going to answer the questions that you're being asked currently.
Right. Or one client that, you know, sent us some, hey, we could be using these case studies. All of them were 2017 or earlier. It's like, you know, almost, it's not so bad if you have one, but yeah, that's not the right mix.
Right. I agree. Well, Nels, as our special guest, is there anything you want to leave our audience with when it comes to case studies and when they need to, how they're thinking about case studies or not thinking about them, that you want to leave them with before we wrap up today?
Yeah, just keep asking, what does success look like? How can we describe it? What else? How else? What metrics? It's, you just keep probing and probing until you find something, the middle ground that you can all agree on.
I love it. Well, thank you, Nels. Thank you so much for being here today as our special guest. We'll definitely have to have you back. Nels, our content commando. Thank you for being here. And as always, thank you, the listener, and you, industrial marketer out there. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Industrial Marketer Podcast. If you haven't subscribed already, please go ahead and subscribe. We're going to have more special guests coming up. We're going to have more tools and tips and texts and trends. And we're going to be talking about all those things that really, really matter to people dealing with the industrial marketing trade. And if you have questions, if you have topic ideas for shows or ideas that you want Nels and I to dive into on the show, email them to us at podcast@industrialmarketer.com, and we'll make sure that your questions and your needs get aired on air. We have a blast doing this, and we definitely want you guys to be along for the ride. So follow along on social media and follow along online. And if you haven't already, go to industrialmarketer.com and read up on all of our newest and best educational opportunities. And until next time, this is Joey and Nels for the Industrial Marketer Podcast.